in a world where threat meets day and night. Steve coming up, may guides the fight. From the tournament of power to cheer in sight. Battles rage in the cosmic light. From Wiz's training to Xeno's game. Universe battles, nothing the same. The Cyber Dragon Ball, we stand tall. Tech and power, together we brawl.
Hello and welcome to the Cyber Dragon Ball. I'm your host, Steve Kamehameha, and I am excited to return to the world of Dragon Ball. So I've been going on a deep dive in all things Dragon Ball. I've been watching, actually for the first time, Dragon Ball itself, which I'll probably review later on. But for now, I'm going to go through Dragon Ball Z and Daima, and then Dragon Ball Super. I may cover GT at some point. I don't know. I'll probably do the movies as well. I realize there's a lot of continuity issues throughout the entirety of Dragon Ball and the entire saga of it. So without further ado, let's dive back into the electrifying world of Dragon Ball Z. Whether you're a seasoned Saiyan or a newbie just discovering the power of the Dragon Balls, this podcast is your one-stop shop for everything Dragon Ball. From iconic battles and character arcs to the latest news and fan theories, I've got you covered. So without further ado, let's get into the Raditz Saga.
There's something bad heading straight for us.
What? Are you sure, Goku?
I'm positive. I've never felt a power like this before.
Yeah, I feel it now too.
There's nothing there, you guys.
What is it? I've never sensed anything like this before. Such an awful power. Look, there!
Oh yes, I see it, Goku.
Who is that?
It's not Piccolo, is it?
This isn't good. I smell death in the air.
We meet again at last. You've grown up.
Ah!
I recognize you, though, Kakarot.
Kakarot?
So the Raditz Saga of Dragon Ball Z takes place 5 years after the end of the original Dragon Ball series. So we start with the arrival of Raditz. And of course, Goku is now an adult, lives pretty peaceful life with his wife Chi-Chi and their son Gohan, who's basically like Goku was at the beginning of Dragon Ball, albeit a little bit more wise on living. And of course, that peace is disrupted by the arrival of a powerful Saiyan named Raditz, who later on, after his scuffle with Piccolo, reveals that he is Goku's older brother. Dun-dun-dun! Raditz kind of discloses that, you know, Goku was originally sent to Earth to conquer it, not to become its protector. But he lost his memory after, you know, bumping his head and forgetting everything. So Raditz, in an effort to get Kakarot, or Goku, to join his side, kidnaps Gohan to more or less force Goku into joining him in destroying the world. So
we kind of kicked the episode off doing that. And, you know, Raditz is kind of wreaking havoc and reveals Goku's, you know, true Saiyan origins. And, you know, of course, they discover why the tail was there in the first place. And Raditz, you know, informs him of his mission. And it's forced Goku to have to team up with his old enemy, Piccolo, which we get, you know, more or less Piccolo starting to have this common enemy, common goal with Goku, where they're fighting as a team instead of against each other, which it just is a further testament to Goku and his ability to turn his enemies into friends. So we get to the showdown, of course, of everything. We get the reunion of Goku teaming up with Piccolo to rescue Gohan and defeat Raditz. And, you know, they're both terrified of the Saiyan battle. And we get to see Gohan's hidden potential unleashed. And it's that hybrid of human and Saiyan blood. And this is a lot of foreshadowing here with Gohan, which coming into the beginning of Dragon Ball Z, you have no idea what he's capable of, which it just continues to expand exponentially as Dragon Ball Z and Super progress of what Gohan's capable of when he's upset. So he injures Raditz by a headshot, pun intended, and gives Goku and Piccolo a fighting chance to attack. And sadly, in a desperate move, Goku sacrifices himself by holding Raditz in place so Piccolo can deliver the fatal attack of the special beam cannon that kills both brothers together. And of course, before dying, Raditz reveals that there are two more Saiyans coming, much more powerful than he. And we don't find out who they are until later, but they're listening through the scouter and have all of the data that's been recorded by Raditz. And of course, they mention that they'll arrive in one Earth year to avenge him. And it sets the stage for the Saiyan saga, or the Vegeta saga, or whatever you want to call it. I know that technically Raditz is the start of the Saiyan saga, but I kind of like to break it up because you get that whole training, you get King Kai, you get things like that. So Raditz dies, Goku dies, Piccolo, of course, kidnaps Gohan to train him, seeing that he has this latent hidden potential inside of him, which it pretty much becomes a year of training for everyone. And in a lot of ways, most of them are not strong enough to fight Vegeta and Nappa, but it doesn't prevent them from trying, which is good. So we get that where Piccolo is training Gohan and then learns about the moon. And I know that in Dragon Ball, Master Roshi destroys it because of Goku, and then at some point they wish it back because Piccolo destroys it again because of Gohan. He also like rips Gohan's tail off at one point, I think, too. I'm still going through and rewatching because I rewatched with Dragon Ball Z Kai recently. But I'm actually going back fresh into Dragon Ball Z because it's the first time I've watched actual, like, proper Dragon Ball Z since I saw it in the 90s and early 2000s. So I'm kind of going in with a fresh eye, looking at all of this once more. And I also watched it when they had a lot of the old voice cast before they switched it up during the Frieza saga. So, and the Cell saga. So I kind of was used to pre-Sean Schemmel before everyone kind of got unified across the brand. So So anyways, we have Goku going through Snake Mountain, heading to King Kai to train, to prepare for the Saiyan arrival. And of course, you know, it's 10x gravity on his world. And King Kai and his planet kind of become this staple of all the way through Super, because they continually have Goku visit and go to King Kai's world to train and to prep and whatnot. So it's very much an important stage, you could say, for a lot of things that come down the pipe later. So as for the remaining Z fighters, Krillin, Tien, Yamcha, and Chaozu, they're undergoing a rigorous training to prepare for the Saiyan invasion with Kami, and it's funny because there's like the hyperbolic time chamber. It could have been highly helpful for them to have used that at this point, but I realize it wasn't thought of until the Android and Cell saga. But that would have been highly beneficial for everyone involved to have trained there, because, you know, like a week is a year in there. And so they could have gotten a lot of training in. But yeah, it, and then, you know, of course, the year later, and I'll get into that in a following episode, but we get Vegeta and Nappa arriving on Earth and causing chaos, and, you know, the Z fighters have to, of course, confront them and kind of go from there. So, again, going into this fresh, I realize the difference between Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Z Kai. Dragon Ball Z Kai cuts out a lot of the filler of like Gohan out scavenging and his little misadventure where Goku has to save him and with the Nimbus, and Goku out in the wilderness. And not to mention that Dragon Ball Z Kai is roughly half the episodes that Dragon Ball Z proper is. Dragon Ball Z proper is like 291 episodes, and Dragon Ball Z Kai has 159, or at least for the Japanese version, 167 for the international version. So it's still like 130 episodes shorter than Dragon Ball Z Kai, or than Dragon Ball Z proper. So like episodes 1 through 3 of Dragon Ball Z is like episode 1 of like Kai, more or less. Like they kind of condensed a lot of the episodes. So like I think even Z Kai has less episodes than even that. But yeah, it's kind of mind-boggling that they did this. Plus they kind of redubbed it and kind of redid all of it in like 2 to 3 years. And while I like being able to blitz through Dragon Ball Z faster using Dragon Ball Z Kai, Dragon Ball Z proper has a lot more of the character development, a lot more of the building. You also have a lot more of the like powering up. And so it's a slow burn in some aspects. I remember watching it on Toonami, and it was insane how long it would take to get through episodes. And yeah, I mean, it was fun, but I also had limited time. I kind of wanted to get to the point. And, you know, it's just, yeah. So anyways, with Dragon Ball Z Kai and Dragon Ball Z proper, I'm going by Dragon Ball Z proper so we can kind of get the full feel for it. There were, of course, some recasts with characters when they did it. Different openings, different music. We had even redubs from Dragon Ball Z to Dragon Ball Z Kai, different actors portraying different some of the same characters or different characters, or we had more actors kind of portraying. So like Christopher Sabat, or Chris Sabat, who plays Vegeta and Piccolo, he played all kinds of characters like Zarbon and, you know, Birder and Jace and Kid Vegeta, like, and then they switched to new voice actors for a lot of those. You know, of course you get like Sean Schemmel played other characters as well, and they recast, and then they're, yeah. I do like Z Kai. I do like some of the enhancements that were done. I do like some of the action sequences and some of the sound effects. However, I preferred Dragon Ball Z proper because I liked the music. Plus, I liked when they were on like Toonami and you had the Rock the Dragon, a lot of the hardcore music, the teasers for the bumpers. Like, it's just, I felt like it was a superior product over Kai. I don't quite understand why they went and did Kai in general. But I know that they had more consistent translations, and it removed blood for like Nicktoons, and I know that Nicktoons had like tighter restrictions and things like that, and they renamed some of the stuff like Gallic Gun, Gallic Blast, Spirit Bomb, Spirit Blast, you know, stuff like that. So what do you guys think? Like, what are your favorite parts of this reintroduction to the world of Dragon Ball Z, or Dragon Ball, if you're familiar with Dragon Ball? Like, what are some of the things that you kind of enjoyed and kind of grab from this? I plan on going into more detail when we get to the Goku versus Vegeta, because I know, for one, it takes longer to go through, but two, you get a lot more stuff going on with Nappa and Vegeta and Nappa and the Z Fighters, and a lot of the Z Fighters kind of biting the dust, and Goku fighting his way to come back and learning all these new skills. It's when Dragon Ball Z really starts ramping up before we get to the Frieza and the Namek saga. Even the Namek saga is not quite my favorite until we get to Frieza. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how well it holds up, and how well I, for one, what my memory was of it then, and then going into it fresh now. So of course, let me know what you think about this episode. Let me know what you want to see improved or discussed or talked about as I go through this, as I'm just kind of re-entering the world of Dragon Ball Z proper. I used to run an actual Dragon Ball Z website way back when, early 2000s, when a lot of this was airing on Toonami, and I had, you know, the different Beckett books where you have all the resources and things like that. So we can dive into some of those things later, but before I fully close it out, the highlights for this part of the saga, you get to learn Goku's Saiyan heritage and mission to conquer Earth. You get to have Goku and Piccolo team up. You get Gohan's hidden power, Goku's sacrifice, and the Z Fighters assembling. And then, of course, the lowlights, Raditz's short stay, and he's pretty much never mentioned again. I mean, Vegeta basically becomes the adoptive brother. And despite Raditz being Goku's brother, he's relatively briefly in this episode or in this chunk of Dragon Ball Z. Would be nice to revisit him in the future, but who knows? A lot of the episodes felt kind of drawn out in Dragon Ball Z proper compared to Kai, which again is another reason, if you're not wanting to watch a lot of the filler, to watch Dragon Ball Z Kai over Dragon Ball Z proper. And then there's a lot of underdevelopment. Certain characters such as Raditz and Gohan, you know, could have had more development and in-depth part of this arc. And then the animation quality, being that it's a return, you know, from Dragon Ball to Z, it's not great compared to later sagas, but, you know, it does improve gradually as it goes. I mean, the guy's learning as he goes along. Overall, the Raditz saga in Dragon Ball Z Kai, pivotal moment in setting the tone, direction of the series. Despite a few areas that could have been, you know, enhanced or brought up with the storyline. But yeah. So thank you, as always, for listening to the Cyber Dragon Ball. I've been your host, Steve Kamehameha. And you can, of course, interact with this episode on geekcastradio.com. You can listen on your favorite podcatcher. We're going to come back next time with the Saiyan saga.
Next time on the Cyber Dragon Ball, Steve Kamehameha will discuss the Saiyan saga. Will Goku arrive in time? Find out next time on the Geekcast Radio Network.
The Cyber Dragon Ball, hear the call. Summon the dragon, give it your all. Gadgets blazing like Goku Black. Vegeta's pride, no turning back. Fusion dance will cover every track. Heroes rise and never slack. With Frieza's plots and Broly's chest, we rise above, we are the best. The Cyber Dragon Ball, we stand tall. Tech and power together we brawl. The Cyber Dragon Ball, hear the call. Summon the dragon, give it your all. With Frieza's plots and Broly's test, we rise above, we are the best. The Cyber Dragon Ball, we stand tall.